Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Messy Masterpiece Podcast with Chad and Tori. Happy Saturday.
Happy weekend.
Happy weekend to the Weekend Warriors. Thanks for tuning in on this special weekend. Today's going to be a special episode indeed.
Yay.
Tori's going to be sharing some of her more humbling moments, moments that she's less proud of, but might have had some great lessons and teachings in there.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. And so I'm sure we'll do a full episode. We could probably do 10 episodes on my humbling moments, you know.
Maybe next week.
But after we do the devotional, we'll jump into that. And I'm just going to let her kind of run off with it. And if I'm kind of thinking through the lens or through the ears of our audience, mm-hmm. I may try to ask you a question to build upon something. But
cool.
I might just let you run off like you sometimes do in a good way. I meant that as a compliment. You know how like in the YouTube videos when you just start going and I'm just like, you better tell them, better say it louder for the people in the back. All right, we jump in.
Yeah, let's start with this devotional. Today we're reading out of 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 and it's titled Humble Prayers. It says, "Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land." The love letter from God says, "Beloved child, you are my child, and I love to answer you. There is great power in humility and prayer. Real change starts in your heart, permeates your home, and then echoes throughout the world. You have the ability to lift up anything in prayer, and I will hear you. You also have the gift of repentance, and in one prayer, you can make yourself right with me. I will forgive you, and that blessing will affect not only you, but the people around you. Don't ever give in to hopelessness or sin. I have given you the power to live above such things. Walk with me, bring everything to me in prayer, and watch my mighty hand move in your life. Love, your Heavenly Father." The reflection says, "We tend to blame everything and everyone in this world for the condition that we are in. But our first response must be instead to humble ourselves and pray. According to God's promise, He will then heal the land in which His children live, starting with their own hearts." The Treasure of Truth says, "Our humility and prayer invite God's forgiveness and restoration."
Yeah, I think that's like the hardest thing to do, mm-hmm. is when things are going wrong or not the way you wanted them to go.
Yeah.
It's so hard to point a finger back at yourself.
Totally.
You know, it's like 100%. I remember back in the day when I was younger and you start doing the blame game and you're pointing fingers at people, mm-hmm. and then that one smart kid is like, "Well, you got four fingers pointing back at yourself, you know, if you point."
Yep. Yeah.
And I'm like, "Gosh, you're good. You got me with this one, Charles."
Yeah. Oh, Charles.
I didn't actually know any young kids named Charles, but there's also a lot of therapy and looking inward when things aren't going your way as well.
Oh, you know, 100%.
I think it can really help us with a self-righteous image that we may be carrying. Mm-hmm. You know, it can really help in so many ways to give ourselves a sober look, a sober assessment.
Yeah.
I had trouble even saying it because my body is like, "Don't do it. Don't do it, man. You're awesome. There's nothing wrong with you, man. Oh, it's goodness. The world. Uh-huh. Blame it on everyone else but mm-hmm. you, you know."
It's our sin nature.
And sometimes it's not even you. Sometimes just things don't go well.
Life.
And those can be just purely humbling moments because mm-hmm. you can't control everything. Oh, you can't.
Yeah, no.
And I think some of the biggest issues I've had in my faith journey thus far have been times where I try to control things that I literally
can't control.
Cannot control. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where whenever I embrace the fact that I can't control it, mm-hmm. there's freedom and there's this like therapeutic release where you're just kind of like, "All right, well, the situation isn't any better, mm-hmm. but I now am accepting the fact that I can't change this mm-hmm. and I'm going to learn to adapt and evolve or whatever inside the situation."
Right.
And it also just makes us look to God so much more too, because whenever we realize our own limitations, we of course need to tap into and look to mm-hmm. an infinitely powerful God.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of another scripture from Chronicles. It's actually from 1 Chronicles. I believe it's 1 Chronicles 4:9-10.
Mm-hmm.
It may be 7, 8, 9, 10, who knows? But it's the prayer of Jabez. I'm sure you guys have heard it before, but I'm paraphrasing the first little bit. And basically it says, and then there's all these names. There's just like this long list of names of the lineage. And then it stops and it says, and then there's Jabez, named Jabez, which means pain, because his mother bore him out of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And he prayed to God and said this, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain."
Mm.
And I just love how this guy, you know, remember at that time, your name was kind of like your destiny almost, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it was like a, almost like foretelling what you're going to do mm-hmm. in life.
Yeah. And God would like go back in and change their name mm-hmm. if he was changing their trajectory.
And so his name literally meant pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because he came into earth causing pain.
Right.
Can you imagine walking around with that name? What a humbling name.
Oh my goodness.
You know?
What a sad name.
And he was so humbled in that where he had, God, would you please do something? Would you please mm-hmm. bless me?
Mm-hmm.
Would you please expand your territory through me?
Yeah.
Would you please keep evil away from me and also keep me from causing evil? What a humble prayer.
Yeah.
And he got to that place mm-hmm. from being in a humbled position.
Yeah. It's just like the verse from the devotional, "Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and restore their land." And I love that he says, "Come to me humbly in mm-hmm. prayer."
Yeah.
Don't come to me in pride saying, "Look, Lord, I have this and I can do that. And look at me, like mm-hmm. I am this great thing. Don't you want to bless me so you can do more because I'm so awesome?" No, it's like, "Lord, I know without you, I'm capable of nothing that's of meaning, mm-hmm. like nothing that's actually going to impact people. But with you, then, you know, the sky is the limit."
Yeah. And everything has meaning.
Everything.
Because everything is for his kingdom.
Right.
And it makes me think of another verse that I love, which is 1 Peter 5:6-7.
I have that written down too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
It's "Therefore humble yourselves underneath the mighty hand of God."
Yeah.
That he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him,
mm-hmm.
for he cares for you.
Yeah.
And I just love the picture of like the little kid who's shy and insecure, scared. They hide behind their parents.
Mm-hmm.
They grab their parents' hand and they hold it up like over them or something. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like protection. Like,
think of that picture when it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God."
Yeah.
And that's us saying, "Hey, I'm meek right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting God above me and I'm going to, and God will protect me and he mm-hmm. will lift me up in due time."
Yeah.
But he's going to care for me in times, especially whenever I most need it.
Absolutely.
Are you ready? Is it time?
I guess it is time.
Y'all, the moment you've all been waiting for. The final countdown, Tori's humbling moments. Those times she ate some humble pie.
Goodness.
Honestly, I don't even think they're that bad.
I mean, I've had a lot of humbling moments in my life. I feel like it kind of started when I was a kid in terms of like growing up in a way where I felt like winning was the only option. And so I like got a taste of what it was like to quote unquote be the best in my like field of dance or pageants or whatever at a very young age. And so then I just put in the work. I was the girl that was at the dance studio 7 days a week and practicing. And it wasn't lack of work ethic. I had that, but it was just like this taste of like perfection and winning and all of these things. And then I go to Miss Florida for the first time and I compete and I didn't even place in the top 10. And that was like really humbling for me. And so then the next year I come back and I had like busted my booty like for a whole year preparing. And then I ended up getting called as first alternate to Miss Florida the next year. And in that moment, I just remember just being like devastated, but also filled with the Lord's peace. Like I was so happy for the girl who had won. All of this stuff kind of unfolded. I went back home. I kind of did my like Netflix for 4 days and just like decompressed from that really stressful week of competing. And then I get this phone call 5 days after the pageant. And there was actually a tabulation error, and I had actually won Miss Florida. I just didn't get that like crowning moment. And so a lot of stuff kind of unfolded with that. I remember like just being in my bedroom getting ready to meet some friends out for Mexican food. I was like, I need a good old greasy chicken and cheese quesadilla, something that I like hadn't had in months and months and months as I was preparing. And instead, what I had to do was in 4 hours, pack up my entire life and drive 10 hours down to move to Miami. It was immediately met with all of these press conferences and all of this stuff, and then was, you know, preparing for Miss America. And I just remember that humbling moment of, number one, not winning, and then actually realizing that I did win, but not getting that like glory, quote unquote, moment of actually like being crowned as Miss Florida, but then just stepping into the actual like job of Miss Florida, but then appreciating it to such a higher degree and such a higher level because I knew what it was like to not have it. And I think there's a lot of different moments in life that we can experience something like that, of something being like not stripped away from you, but you not obtaining the thing that you're like desiring the most. And then when it is like placed in your hand, you appreciate it so much more because of the time and the realization that it might not actually happen. It might not actually occur. And then when it is in your hands, it's like, wow, God, you're so good. And I want to steward this so well because it was not easily obtained. And so that was just like one type of humbling moment. And then I had on the reverse side, a completely opposite type of humbling moment. So I had had my big Miss Florida year, all the things. I go back to school because I had to finish out my last year of college. And I remember it being like the most isolating, lonely year of my life, truly. I like went back, all my other friends had already graduated, and I would like travel on the weekends because I really didn't have like a lot of friends that year. And then it's time to, you know, get the big girl job. And I had a lot of different like offers on the table. But then out of desperation, I took a job. And the job that I thought I was taking turned out to be a very different job once I was actually in the job. And I was miserable, y'all. I mean, I was truly, I thought that I was going in to do something. When I actually got into the job, it was something completely different. And I found myself becoming very lazy. My work ethic was so low. I did not want to get out of bed in the mornings. I would do anything I could to like avoid work or take my vacation time. Truly, it was the season that I like didn't even recognize who I was. I just like didn't care about anything. I was so apathetic about what I was doing. I was actually employed by a former Miss Florida and her company that she had kind of built. It was like a recovery program. I was the in-between hospitals and addiction recovery centers. And what was really hard for me was I couldn't share about the good news of the gospel. I couldn't share about Jesus. And then I also was constantly turning people down just because it was this private facility. So a lot of people didn't have the right insurance or they couldn't afford it. And so it was really like draining on me emotionally. And y'all, I just was not doing the job in the way in which it should be done. I remember I went to this conference with my church. I was serving at my local church, and I went to their leadership conference with a lot of other churches. And I found myself in a room with a bunch of women who were, I think, all pastors' wives. And then I'm just sitting in this room like, what am I doing here? And they had this panel, and they kind of had these little papers that you could submit like anonymous questions. And I remember writing down like, how do I make the switch between corporate America and ministry? Especially I'm not married to a pastor or something. So like, I don't even know like where my place would be in ministry, et cetera. Like I serve a small local church. They don't have like paid staff. Like I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know that I'm like miserable. But I was also up for a very big promotion, and I started idolizing the money of the job. And so I remember going out of that little session, and the answers that the women gave me didn't give me like a ton of clarity on what that transition would be. And then I went into worship, and it was the first time that I like finally admitted to myself, like, I'm really not happy. Like, I really don't like where I am, but I don't know what to do. And I was driving home. I also forgot to mention I had like insomnia for the week prior. Like, I had no sleep at all because I was so anxious about this job and that I wasn't even doing well. And I told the lady that I was driving home with, she asked me if I would ever quit. And I told her I'm just too attached to the security and the money that I'm making right now to, you know, let this thing go. And then I go home and I get a call from HR, and I had filled out my report wrong. And I was fired immediately on the spot, just like immediately fired. I remember texting my pastor and his wife that I was very close with. They're like family. And I remember texting them as I'm on the phone with HR, and I was like, I think I'm getting fired. And they were like, we're grabbing the ice cream.
Yeah.
Come over to our house after your phone call. And I just remember what happened inside of me getting fired. I really felt like it was a character attack a little bit. And and truly, it was my fault, y'all. Like, I deserved to be fired. I was not putting my best effort in. I was not invested in the company I was working for. I was doing like the minimum amount I could to get by. Mm-hmm. And when I was fired, I had never felt that feeling before.
Yeah.
Of like getting fired for something that was genuinely my fault, that I needed to go back and like humbly ask for forgiveness for like not putting my best foot forward and not, you know, doing that company justice like I, you know, said I would when they hired me. And it was just a crazy moment in my life. I remember going to my pastor's house and just like bawling my eyes out with their family and just feeling like I was so low and I had no idea what I was going to do next. And I remember like crying out to the Lord the next morning in the shower, just like apologizing to him for not working like he was my boss, not working with excellence, not working with integrity, and saying, okay, Lord, like it's completely in your hands now. Like, you're going to have to lead me into this next season. And I remember calling a mentor of mine who was over this women's ministry and in the area, which was a huge reason why I wanted to live in the town that I was living in. And she was like, well, hey, why don't you come work for us? And I was like, wait, what? Like, you have, like, I could work for y'all. Like, I never thought that was an option. And so literally within 24 hours, the Lord had redeemed the situation in a way where I was making probably a sixth of what I was making at the previous job. But I was like six times happier in the next job because the job was based on something that I felt was moving the kingdom forward, was me preparing myself for honestly what we're doing now. And I was getting to work with women who just loved the Lord and were bringing people together and encouraging each other. And I was like the director of communications for this women's ministry that I just like loved. And that ministry had impacted my life so much. It was just like, I remember that moment in the shower, just being so humbled and praying that prayer. And then within hours, the Lord had come through with something else, which was just so crazy to me.
Yeah. I have a question, actually.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that always shocks me about you, is you're so willing to almost admit those embarrassing moments. You know, like,
yeah,
it seems like they don't carry as much, I don't want to say shame, but totally. Embarrassment.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah, for sure.
On them. And so was it hard for you to call people that you love and respect and tell them like bad news like that?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh yeah. And so I think it took me a while to like admit that I was wrong. You know, like I tried to like cast the blame game, I feel like, in the very beginning, like especially that night that I got fired.
Yeah.
To be like, you know, it wasn't the job that they told me it was going to be, and like how miserable this is or that is or this is or whatever. And this is why I wasn't giving it my best. And the Lord kind of wrecked me. I remember that night of being like, were you doing your best for them? Did you actually like, were you excellent in your job?
Yeah.
Did you just do what you had to do and nothing more? And I just remember like, I literally bought a dog because I was so like, low-key depressed and didn't know it because I can always like put a smile on my face. And I would be like doing reports while trying to potty train my puppy. Like I just was not actually focused on what I was supposed to be doing. But it did take me a while, I feel like, to really admit to friends and loved ones, like, no, y'all, this was like my fault. I actually really did deserve to be fired. Like if I had someone working for me in the way in which I was working for them, mm-hmm. I would fire them.
You would?
100%. And I just don't think that I realized that at the time because I was doing what I quote unquote was supposed to be doing, but my heart was not in the right posture at all.
Yeah. That's super interesting because it makes me think of like Peter in the Bible where he basically here, and I took a screenshot of it. This is what Peter said in the Bible. I believe it's Matthew 26:33. And he says this, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Mm. And then like, just, you know, I'm going to fast forward, spoiler alert, 41 verses later, he denies Jesus.
Yeah. Multiple times. You know?
And so what a humbling thing to grasp around is to actually say like, no, on one hand, no, I would never do that. That's not me. That's not me. It was them.
Yeah.
You know? And then 41 verses later, you know, he has his issue. Mm-hmm. And then to admit that later on is just incredibly humbling. And I think it actually provides like a lot of evidence for the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, there's even a verse in John where I have to look it up, but basically John says, even his own brothers didn't believe him. Mm. And they're talking about Jesus.
Wow.
They're talking about Jesus' brothers. They didn't believe him.
Wow.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like if I were John and I were quote unquote, the one who Jesus loved the most, I might leave that out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I might just do my man a solid and just be like, no, everyone loved him besides like the people who, you know, had him. Yeah. But, and there's even a third and probably the most embarrassing thing in the Bible is, and by the way, this is may sound a little sensitive, but stick with us, stick with me specifically because it's kind of like, it's not super intense, but I know it can get kind of political. It's just that, you know, in the Bible, it was women who found the empty tomb. Mm-hmm. They were traveling to go put spices on his body and to, you know, and then they discovered the empty tomb and then they reported it to the disciples. And then it says this in Luke 24:11, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Hmm. And you have to remember that at this time, you know, under the Roman emperors and all that stuff, a woman's testimony was not legally like admissible in court. It didn't mean anything in court.
Crazy.
It's very different than now versus like you go out and share some embarrassing news or some shocking news and people are like, oh wow, what happened? That really happened.
Yeah.
In actual the court of the law, it didn't mean anything to anyone.
Wow.
And if I were trying to start a new religion, okay, track with me. If I'm trying to start a new religion and at that time, women's words didn't carry the weight that they do now. Mm-hmm. Would I have a woman or women be the ones to find the empty tomb?
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I would try to airtight my story so much where no one can deny it. Mm-hmm. And but it's those details that really provide so much evidence for the Bible. Because why would the gospel writers say that and do that if they knew at the time that this was not something that people would actually believe? They wrote in there that they didn't believe them because they thought the words were nonsense.
Wow.
You know, that just blows my mind. But how cool is it that God used women to do that?
Yeah.
And I
powerful.
Yeah, it's super powerful. And I just have to commend you for being so willing to share things that are embarrassing. You know, I've had so many embarrassing things happen in my life that I just choose to just not think about, not tell anyone about, just because like, what's the point in me feeling embarrassed, right?
Yeah.
Well, and go ahead.
I just feel like there's so many moments in my life where I just feel like I've been face to face with my sin nature. Mm-hmm. And I feel like growing up, I didn't really like face that in me enough. Like I just thought that if I did enough good things that I'm like a good Christian, a good girl, all these things. But then I've been face to face with how powerful sin can be and the pull of sin and so many different areas that bring shame in different ways, you know, like sexual shame, but then like shame of integrity and character. And wow, I didn't think that I would ever be that person to lie on a report for work or whatever that might be, even if it was, you know, not intentional. But it's just that whole like, wow, I really am like left up to me without God. I'm like really crappy, you know, but like with God and the Holy Spirit leading me, then I feel like a different person. I feel free from that shame. And I think that that's why I can share, is because I feel free from shame, because I've experienced forgiveness. I've experienced grace. So that's why I can share, because I don't define myself by that stuff. I've been, you know, in seasons where the Lord has wrecked me with forgiveness that I know that I don't deserve.
Yeah.
But that's why I can walk in freedom, is because I've experienced it and I've let grace wash over me.
Yeah. And it reminds me of that verse in Peter again. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God.
Yeah.
That way he may exalt you in due time.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he's waiting for us to humble ourselves before he exalts us. Because 100%. Whenever you were praying, and then you did see that such quick turnaround, you know, you hit the humble button real quick.
Well, even in that job, I saw the Lord, you know, come through really quickly, but I was making like no money. Yeah. And so I had to work four jobs just to pay my bills. Yeah. So I was like working for the ministry. Then I like started teaching dance. And then I was working for my dad's chiropractic company, or my dad's friend's chiropractic company, like filing papers.
Yeah.
And then I was babysitting on the side.
It's like the humble pie keeps on coming.
Truly. I mean, I was literally, and I'm like, I've been Miss Florida. I've done all these things. I graduated with two majors. I had all of these jobs lined up, and then literally I find myself working four jobs, barely making rent. And I'm like, what the heck? How did this happen?
Yeah, I feel that too, because even after I graduated with all the college stuff, and then I was a male nanny and a private school tutor.
Yeah.
And that was really humbling. And I'll share more on that in next humbling episode of the Masters. Is there any last little tidbits you want to share before we get ready to close on out?
I feel like don't be afraid of being humbled. I think that there's almost like a fear in admitting that, you know, we're not that great, you know, like without the Lord. And I think that there's such a blessing in feeling the weight of like, wow, God, like you're so much better than me.
Yeah.
You know, like, wow, I can't believe that you still want to use me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think something that's super interesting is I feel like the enemy is going to try to use one of two things really well, or both back to back, which he's going to use pride, right, in your life to where, you know, you can do this on your own. You're awesome. You're special. You don't need God, all this stuff. And then when you are humbled, when the world decides to say, hey, man, you're not so special.
Yeah.
And then now you want to hide it.
Now you battle the shame.
Now you battle the shame game, and you feel embarrassed, and he's going to get you there next. Yeah. And I think that you're right. There is so much freedom in admitting those embarrassing moments and sharing those, to normalize them and get people sharing theirs. And there's healing there, and there's freedom there.
Yeah.
And it's a way that enemy cannot use them against you.
Yeah.
I always say that, you know, whenever you accept your own insecurities, nobody can use them against you.
Right.
And I think it's the same thing with the enemy, is that if we're holding on to all that, this litany, is that a good word?
Litany?
Hold on. Litany. Where did that come from? Am I a dictionary? Hold on. I'm on my phone. Define litany. Lit. Litany.
So lit.
Let's see what it says. A series of petitions for use in church services or processions, or it's a tedious recital of repetitive series. So I don't know if I use that correctly, but you know, if we just have so many things we're holding on to that we're low key embarrassed about, it may be keeping us from God actually lifting us up and exalting us. And so I would take a beat from Tori and really encourage you that, you know, you don't got to go start a podcast and blab your whole stuff, but, you know, call a really close friend or talk to a family member or a pastor or mentor and say, hey, I realize I've been holding on to this for a little too long and it's been holding me back. Cause remember, the more stuff you're carrying, the less free you are to walk.
Yeah.
You know, so
I've been reading this verse a lot in Revelation 12, verse 11. It says, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony.
Mm.
And I just think that there's a lot of weight in that, that like you've defeated the enemy when you share your testimony.
Yeah.
Every time you share the testimony of God's goodness, of God's grace, of the ways that you've failed and he's prevailed.
Yep.
You defeat the enemy. Like he wants to keep you in the dark.
Yeah.
And as long as he keeps that thing in the dark, he owns it. As soon as you bring it into the light, God's yeah. redemption and restoration and forgiveness and grace can heal you. But you're not going to be healed if you keep it in the dark.
No, absolutely not. Before we go to Pray On Out, I did want to say that if you're wondering if there's going to be extended Patreon episode, there is. I'm going to force Gabriel Conti onto it.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask him to share any embarrassing moments he may have.
So love it.
We actually just got a text from him. We got to head down the Boca ASAP to record Promptus episodes. But yay. You ready to pray son out, baby?
Would love to. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you humbly today, Lord. We pray for your forgiveness, for anything that would separate us from you, Lord. We pray that you would just wash us with your grace and your mercy, Lord, that grace that we don't deserve, Lord. We know firsthand the pull that sin can have on our lives, Lord, and we'd pray against the attacks of the enemy, Lord, the attacks that we would want to just be in that dark place, Lord, that we would allow the enemy to take hold of those things that we might be embarrassed about, Lord. But we say today, no, no longer. We're going to bring it into the light. We're going to experience healing. We're going to experience grace, God, because we want to walk in the freedom of your forgiveness. We want to be able to be empowered to share our testimony so that the enemy doesn't have a foothold in our lives. And by the power of our testimony, we get to impact people for your kingdom, God. And we want to focus on that, Lord, everything that we do, everything that we say, with every action, with every thought, Lord, we want to glorify who you are, and you are magnified in our weakness, God. So Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that you are near to us in our hardest seasons, Lord, but that you reach out to us with your mighty hand and you pull us out, Lord. So I just pray today that we would feel that, Lord, that we would feel the freedom of your forgiveness, that we would feel freedom from shame, that anything that we've been keeping in the dark, that we would right now lay at your feet. God, that we would come to you humbly and confess and actually receive the forgiveness that you so freely give us, God. So Lord, right now we're going to open up the floor for our listeners to pray, to bring these things to you, to confess, to receive. And Chad and I are going to be praying in agreement with them. So cover me in the blood and heal my open wounds. I'm desperate for your limitless love. So cover me in the blood and heal. I'm desperate for your limitless love. Love so abounding, love so pure, love so abounding, we will endure. Amen, God. Amen, God.
Amen, y'all. We appreciate you sitting tight as we got this episode ready for you.
We'll be talking to y'all tomorrow.
Love you. Bye.